won't waste any time. I know the afternoon session is a very short session, so we won't waste time in making any political remarks or whatever remarks. We go straight to the presentation so that we can finish on time and release everybody. Over to you, DG, and your team. Oh, we have received the apologies from the minister and also the deputy minister. They are attending the National Assembly plenary. We all know that it's a three-line week today. Everybody has to be present when they vote. Thanks.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You definitely stole my thunder. That was where I was going to start. But I would have also said that, as I promised last week, that I'll be back. Here am I with our SASA team here. The CEO, I'm sure, will make some remarks before the presentation is given. On our behalf, thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Chairperson and members of the committee. I think if we could just allow us to introduce ourselves to refresh the committee's mind and who we are. We'll start from there.
Good afternoon, members. My name is Paseka Letsatsi, Head of Communications, SASA.
Afternoon, honorable members. I'm Lou Vuyo, the CIO for SASA.
Honorable members, Vusi Matonsela, DG, Social Development.
Virginia Peterson, the CEO of SASA.
Mandela Makatuga, Executive Manager, TransAdmin, currently deployed in Northern Cape as a regional head.
Tula Kanyamotusi, Acting Chief Financial Officer, SASA.
Good afternoon, members. My name is Thandi Sibanyani, Head of Internal Audit and Fraud Management.
Good afternoon, members. I'm Zodwa Burane, the Regional Manager for Northwest.
Osborne Masilela, National Department of Social Development. Good afternoon, members. John Muniba, Acting CFO, Social Development.
Good afternoon, members. Abigail Mnate, Social Development, the National
Department. Where are the heads from the region?
We want to use the opportunity every time, ma'am, we come before a committee to bring a REM so they can experience this engagement.
Yeah.
I would have preferred if I brought lots more, but the point is we also have to be frugal in our approach. But I felt that every time we come to a committee, I will bring a different REM because I think they need to experience firsthand how members feel about the issues. We usually go back after meetings like these, and I have a meeting with all the REMs, and we point out everybody's issues. But I also felt it's important every time to bring a REM with so they can see the process. Maybe the budget allows from next year to bring at least more than one, about three at a time for the engagements, because I think it's important, particularly here, that people have the opportunity to see the people who lead the provinces. Thank you, Chairperson, if I may proceed with the presentation. Chairperson, before you, we have a presentation on our annual report for the past financial year, 2010-11. And obviously, whilst presenting our annual report to you, we will also continue to highlight some of the challenges we do anticipate and that has emanated from the year under review. The outline of the presentation has an overview, the achievements, the budget and the expenditure for 2010-11, and obviously the challenges. I'll start with the background. Again, SASA being a 3A entity was obviously established in April 2006 to transform the experience of social security for our people. Since the agency's establishment, there's been a demand on our services, particularly in social security in terms of payment of benefits. We now have 10.9 million people we pay to, more especially, but there are 15 million grants in payments. Because, you know, if it's a Google with two CSG, that's how you get to the people versus the number of grants, just for clarity on that. And you'll see the increase from 2006 is quite extensive. What has happened with the increase, it exacerbated, obviously, the number of beneficiary to staff ratios. It's also looked at our system's weaknesses in terms of the lack of complete automation of our system remains a challenge until we actually change that. There again, we state the numbers before you, but particularly the number for that financial year under review. We ended on 14.9 million. I gave it the number we're at now, but this was the number as of the year under review. These are just the mandates from which we derive our assistance, our raison d'etre, this is our constitution, the Social Assistance Act, the SASA Act, and then to deal with our vision, it is a comprehensive social security service that assists people in being self-sufficient and supporting those in need. Our mission, to manage quality social security services to eligible and potential beneficiaries effectively and efficiently. The strategic objectives, there are three critical ones. Customer care-centered benefits administration and management system, improve systems integrity, and increase access to social security services. NJALO is our slogan. We always hope to pay the right social grant to the right person at the right time and place. In terms of the year under the review and looking at our overall achievements with the financial allocation we received, we again state the numbers in terms of where we stand with the different types of grants. 2.6 million old age grant, 958 war veterans. It's obvious that that will be a continual decrease, and we'll show that more graphically. 1.2 million people in disability grants, 58,000 are granting aid, and 5,100 in foster care, and 112,000 in care dependency grants, and the big one is 10.3 million in child support grants. Here we disaggregated and we show the growth over timeline, and I think it's very important to see the growth in terms of the annual growth, which is right at the bottom of the page for each of the years under review. Whilst we've gone from 9% to 3.4% in 2007-08, 2008-09, 5.2%, and then 2009-10 with 7.5%, and the year under review was actually 6.2% increase, and you can see that steadily across the numbers. We give you a breakdown of the trends. More specifically, we show you the child support grant benefit in was 10.371950 in March 2010, compared to the 7 million in March 2006. That just gives you another sense of how we've increased our service foothold in communities. But that doesn't mean that should stop there. In fact, the more recent report, and DG is aware of it, by UNICEF and others have said that there's still more than 2 million children to be reached. The war veterans, which is the First and Second World War and the Korean War, whilst unfortunately as a result of age and ill health, some of these beneficiaries are dying, and so there's obviously a high attrition rate there. The number of grant benefits, we've given again a different slant to it, but it's the same. It shows the difference in growth between 2009-10 and 2010-11, where we can see that disability in grants, in fact, have decreased. And perhaps we would talk to that in a little while to give some of the explanations around that. And that just gives you a further breakdown in terms of the 8.4% on child support grants, the 5.2%, and also the age equalization part within that context. Care dependency grants had also had a nominal increase of 1.3%. And the foster care growth was slow at a 0.4%. I think in terms of the provincial breakdown of the grants, on page 18, we will see that the Eastern Cape, but particularly KZN, is the largest driver linked to the population size of 3.7 million grants. then followed by the Eastern Cape, which is 2.5, and then followed by Limpopo, which is 2.1, and it goes down in aggregates like that. Those are the key drivers in terms of provinces for the social security system. Northern Cape obviously remains the lowest number because it's a large area space, but not as many people populating the province. In terms of the agency's payment system, grant payments are still largely cash-based, as we've said. During the year under review, there definitely was significant progress was made on the migration of beneficiaries from the cash payment to the automated clearing bureaus, ACB. I think we must include that whilst the number is larger, a total of 47%, it does include things like, for example, the Sekalula payments through All Pay, which is a different type of ACB payment to just generally I belong to APSA, I belong to F&B, and my money just gets transferred. That is a brokered dispensation with the payment master. We will see that we've made some savings during the year under review in terms of negotiations. My predecessor was very good in negotiating with the payment contractors to reduce Mr. Bacardi, to reduce the payment per unit cost, resulting in the 9% savings. And I think that was a very good basis for where we are right now. In terms of the applications process for grants, during the year under review, IGAP, which is the improved grant application process, was started in the Free State, in Tabantu more particularly. Whilst we did not roll it out then, we will roll it out now with further improvements because it's important to automate, but I think the problem is the interface between the systems were not always where they should be, so that would be a more definite piece of work that we need to concentrate still in this financial year before it ends. The average turnaround time, because this is one of the measures we have for ourselves in SASA, 21 days is still, but we could also, under very demanding and urgent and emergent situations, deliver a grant in a day. But we would prefer that we do all the securities around the application of a grant and do the proper processing, that whilst the target one day will be 3 days, right now, 21 days for a countrywide norm is the accepted norm. We have a three-step process, and I must say, when I arrived at SASA, there was a wide range of different process steps in taking on the grant, and that called for standardization. That was one of the first things I had targeted, to capture, verify, and complete the process. In different offices, they had different standards. We are working during the year under review. In many offices, there was a three-step model. We will go with a three-step model once fully automated countrywide. We would see the KZN and Gauteng regions recorded the highest number, and their processing within 30 days, while Northern Cape recorded the lowest number of applications processed within the same period. Disability management model. The DMU is quite a difficult situation. You'll see the decreasing disability grants because we're working with two positions in terms of the doctors. We have contracted doctors in some provinces because of a lack of that resource at state hospitals particularly. And then in other provinces, we're in a better position that we tend to use them more. So we have contracted doctors in certain provinces and others, a more reliance on public health centers to actually help us. But we've worked at a model where people come in, we make a booking date for them, whether it is in the public sector or with the doctor that we've contracted. We are still using the HAT model underpinning for how we work on disability grants. There's a more rigor in disability grant assessment. And a lot of training has been given. I personally feel there should be a better reliance on public health for the future for how we do this. There's a standardized medical assessment form that has been started, the Eastern Cape, because it's still on its own MIS system, which will be migrated during this year. So we have 7 provinces on a standardized MIS system, which is a national link. Then we have the Free State and the Eastern Cape still operating on independent systems, and we're hoping that this will be resolved this year by the take-on of those, because that does cause complications when you want to get an immediate countrywide picture. We, as I said, we have MOUs with some provincial health departments. We are very mindful of the challenges health has, but where they can, they've been able to assist us. But we should also look at, SAFRA does not necessarily possess all the skills in the provinces to actually manage doctors. So we need to look at how we do. The Eastern Cape is the only province that actually has doctors on staff. I think the 11 doctors on staff there. Whilst none of the other provinces have this dispensation, so we should really, our role would be to say, what is the normative approach? And as I said before, it will be public health. Our second priority during that year under review and continues to be improved systems integrity. Change management initiatives were undertaken to improve skills, competency, and professional conduct. Ethics audit conducted by the agency revealed a significant decrease in the number of grievances relating to job descriptions and performance management. I'd like to believe that our performance management system is actually improving, because it's all about the relationship between the worker and his or her supervisor when they contract in the beginning of the year. And if those things aren't done properly, that's when you tend to have more grievances. We obviously have had ethics training, which is very important in our business, you know, in terms of the integrity model, the basis of how people are employed in our organization needs to speak to people understanding what the code of conduct is, how that unpacks, what is the integrity level of the organization, and 3,165 staff members were trained across the country during the year under review. Here we speak more to the integrity model, but besides dealing with our staff, a total of 132,000 beneficiaries were also verified for eligibility and existence. This is going just beyond having a life certificate. We need to continue to look at who is on our system, and we have a large system. And we found 7,100 to be fraudulent out of that number of 132,000. The agency continued its work under the year under review with the FIU, although the investigation rate, recovery rate, and really the workload has decreased significantly in terms of what has actually been uncovered. The caseload, and there obviously are numbers to say, 2,800 persons were brought before court. And I must also say, while admission of debt is written up, and it seems to be a large amount of money, lots of the time, the people who are written up have found themselves in quite a few difficulties. You have people who are unemployed to start with. You have people who are on the system and have been overpaid when the disability grant, which was temporary, wasn't terminated correctly, and it continued for a while. Sometimes we find ourselves trying to get money from people who haven't been employed for years. So I think it's actually a bit difficult to sit with the debt book, and DG's aware, he's actually instructed us more recently that we have, as part of our current work, a project plan to address the debt book within SASA, because it seems large, but the recovery is very low. And we need to actually say, are people still alive? Are they? Did they sign a letter to agree that this is their debt? You know, because some of them have they've agreed initially with the SIU, but we need to follow through those matters. And you will see 6,300 people, in fact, acknowledged it. and some of them obviously being fraudulent. Legal services model was implemented during the year under review. The most significant issue within the legal services, besides providing opinions, is also doing the contract and checking the agreements we have as SASSA with a range of service providers, and therefore the framework for contract management was very essential to be introduced. Yet another piece of work my predecessor worked on during this year under review. The agency had managed to reduce the number of litigation matters from 2,700 to 1,900 during the year under review, but you will see on the slide which I refer to, it's a dramatic decrease from where we started when the agency was started. And the liability cost also went down from 43 mil to 12 mil, which is 71% decrease during the year under review. You will see chairperson here, and I just have to make an errata on slide and in book. The 2000 and, yeah, oh, it's been six, I see it's six now. I was still trying to pick up, they fixed it, but there was a date problem in the actual annual report. But you will see there were 61,000 cases in the 2007-08 year. And then if you look at the years continuing, there was 15,000 in 2008-09, 2009-10, it was 2007, as we said earlier, and then the year under review was 1,900. So you see the decrease over time. And that's just to say KZN obviously having the largest number of cases because of the grant size there and the population size, and then the Eastern Cape with 18,000 over time. Our third priority during the year under review is increased access to Social Security. The ICROS project, which is the Community Registration Outreach Program, was implemented. The total number of 675 outreach programs were conducted in 121 municipalities. This program is now also largely driven by the ward identification of the poorest wards, and that's where our target is. Just recently we've uncovered that, and DG can speak to that as well, that identification does not rule out what we call almost invisible poverty. Because quite recently we've seen how people live in poverty but in pockets, surrounded by other areas in the community which drive up the income in that ward, making it a more affluent ward, but there is deep poverty in that ward by pocket size and not by total ward. So this is, in fact, is a worrying issue for us, and I'm sure these issues will be taken forward. 72,000 new beneficiaries received a registration on our system through the ICROP project in this program during this financial year under review. Again, we speak to the SRD assistance to poor households. I must say, Chairperson, during that particular year, we tended to give more of the dry product in our SRD package. During this year, during Welfare Month, we've looked at the balance because our children seem to be in particularly some areas and provinces to still be dying as a result of malnutrition, and that cannot continue to happen. There's the Millennium Goals, but beside that, there's us as a country and how we deal with this issue. So we've looked at the balance of not just dry food in the SRD, but fresh vegetables and fruit as part of that SRD understanding. And we've coupled to a health program to actually measure the weight of the children as they come into the program to see if there's significant increase. Because I think this is a very serious problem. I think where we launched this program, it was in the Mokopong area. We found particularly there had been a report to say that a number of young children were diagnosed with severe malnutrition, and despite them being on CSG, we had not seen their weight change. And therefore, we had to look at the intervention. So during that year, we still gave a dry parcel as opposed to a balance, and as well as a nutritional supplement. which then does seek to address the specific problems our children are having in some areas. We also, obviously, in some provinces, there wasn't an equal understanding of the SRD. Some gave vouchers and some gave food stamps, and we need to look at that. Standardization seems to be one of the greatest challenges still facing SACSA at the moment, and we're starting to affect changes to make sure that our products are the same. It doesn't matter if you're in Limpopo, the Northwest, or the Eastern Cape. We need to have a uniform approach and standardize as soon as we can. Regions such as the Northwest, during the year under review, established 11 satellite offices. We also had the issue of the boundaries of provinces and certain areas, and that means files also need to be shifted. So there's specific attention paid to that coming out of what happened last financial year. Well, during the 2019, there was that very bad SACSA year called the disclaimer year. We're very happy to be here today, Chairperson. We actually don't show our excitement because the DG is sitting next to me, so I'm not allowed to be too excited that we didn't get that kind of audit result because we're out of that bag. But unfortunately, we qualified DG because of the big money still, and I've given him my promise, not going to happen again. But unfortunately, we came off that, and some of the issues raised in the auditor's report was a leadership issue, and we hope by constant work and being as motivated as we are to get SACSA to be a world-class organization, these are the issues we will continue to attend to. And again, my predecessor was very pivotal in ensuring, together with E&Y, that our status with the auditor this year is so in the pink and not in, well, I won't use the word black today, or red. Would be better, hey, DG, that. So we're doing well, but I think we still need to work much harder on the program too within social development mode to get that right. In terms of leadership programs, senior staff, you'll see the emerging management development program, advanced management, and executive leadership development. These are the types of programs that were put forward to the staff. I must say that staffing remains a critical issue within SACSA because of the number of staff against what appears to be an artificial vacancy rate must be clearly understood. And we could speak more to that because we're constantly confronted with that, and we need to understand that SACSA currently is only doing half the job as its mandate suggests, which is taking on the applications. The other half is paying out the grant, and then the staff establishment will be addressed in that way. Policy development and legislative changes. On the 16th of September last year, the Social Assistance Amendment Act No. 5 came into effect. And whilst this had to do with appeals from another perspective, in terms of the SACSA issues, it was an ability to have an administrative reconsideration of a decision made by SACSA. Sometimes we know and we've heard complaints, whether it's in the media, whether it's from yourself, Chairperson, that some of our officials in the local offices are sometimes overlooking things when they're making their decisions. Mm. So it became wise for the department, obviously, because that's where the policy initiative came from, to suggest that we have an internal reconsideration process before it becomes an appeal. Because it could just be a technicality that has stood in the way. So that year, it started, and when we report again in probably next year to you, you will see the impact of the reconsideration thus far, particularly during the current financial year, not the one that has been. Distress to a person affected by disaster defined in the Act, that also was addressed. And interesting, well, they always call it interesting, development in that year under review was the recognition of the agency's bargaining forum as per Resolution 1 of 2006. The agency, whilst an entity, had always operated off the public service General Bargaining Council floor. And we tended to take all the resolutions from that entity. We're moving towards understanding ourselves in our own context. We are an essential service. We need to make sure that everybody understands that. There can't be an instance, and therefore we also need to work in a closer understanding with the unions who serve workers so they understand the conditions of the employment in the agency specifically, as opposed to a generalized approach. In terms of our the agency's revenue and expenditure in the year under review, the total revenue we will speak to, but again, the administrative part is $5.6 billion, and out of that, we spent 5.2 or 91% of the administrative budget. We were left with a targeted, and I always say targeted, not savings when you go to austerity, to cut back on things. And I always say we must be very clear that austerity measures were introduced during that year under review in order to make that saving, to address the financial situation of the deficit that FASA found itself in after the preceding year, 2009 and 10. So it was targeted, so it wasn't just an underspend. It was a targeted approach through an austerity plan to bring about that amount of $462 million. I'd also say that negotiations are the other part of trying to address our financial situation of why it was costing us so much, by negotiating with service providers to bring down their costs. So between those two legs, that amount was realized. And it's on the page there. At the beginning of the year under review, the agency had accumulated the deficit, and there is the rub, the 884, that we've had to grapple with reducing that. Therefore, we have obviously engaged Treasury as a result of the closure of the financial year to ask them permission, which they're in the process of granting. I'm very optimistic to use that money to offset the amount that we have there. In terms of the cash stabilization strategy, and it gives the year, we talk more specifically to what was contained in the cost containment program under austerity. It is the way we did our business, we cut back on travel subsistence, but I must say I've had to review that policy. Because in some of the more rural areas where distances, no matter how small the number of people in the Northern Cape, but you could find yourself on the road for 4 hours. And I've had to say, but then, you see, we can't allow austerity to stop us from delivering the service. You cut at other places. You make all these officials and me stop traveling business class. That's how we do that. And we take those things away. But we increase the mileage for the workers on the ground. Yes, they're not looking too happy, Chairperson, but that's what we've had to do. So that's how you address that. We look at the cars. I mean, we get into cars as well, it's Europe car now, and we drive around in very great luxury cars into poor communities. I don't believe that's the way we should be. So we're now all comfortable with the just the 1.4, is it, gentlemen and ladies? 1.4 regular little car that we get at the airport. That is other ways. We've had to look at how we operate our business to say, how much is this really costing us to be in this contract, whether it's cleaning, whether it's security? And say, no, that's where we're going to cut. But we're not going to cut. But unfortunately, during the year under review, the drastic measures to make this saving included shifts and cuts. I think it hurts the service a little bit. So I'm saying no, those must be reversed. Officials who have to travel in provinces to get to pay our points, to get more people out to a service point, that we cannot stop. Those vehicles we have, you cannot ground them, otherwise why do we have them? They've got to work for us, they've got to park in front of farms. We've got to be where the people need us the most. So those areas of austerity, I must admit, I have reversed. And said, and I do not make apology, Chairperson. I think it's in the best interest of our service delivery that we don't say, an official, I was sitting there, we were not giving overtime. We were saying you can only travel certain amount of kilometers per month. That means you were saying to a worker you can only go to that office twice or thrice a month if it's a distant office. And that is where people need us most. So those things have shifted in this financial year. But the austerity was important at the time to bring us the kinds of savings we wanted. But now we've got to move from that. Again, we're talking about the ACB, and I again include Sekelula because it does have impact for how we do business. I must admit that whilst we've got so many people potentially as banks, the banks have been calling me every third, it is the third of the month, that the banked people get their money, to complain that our people, and I feel very hurt by this, our people make their banks untidy.
Oh.
Because they come early, and they queue, and they're stopping business customers from coming. And I'm not very sympathetic, I must admit, Jefferson. I just said, no, where's their corporate social responsibility?
Mm-hmm.
And then they wanted us to stagger the grants. Now, you know, people, we paid over 15 days normally. The banks, the money comes in from the third. And if our Google got used to it, you can't keep on messing with her. Saying to no man, now you're going to get paid the 10th. A lot of education will have to go into the process, and also because we're in a tender process now, I thought it would be best to leave that moment. But you know, when people say that, oh, the banks, oh no, it's not nice when they say that about our people, because
are they nice?
It's their problem.
Exactly. So we having, yeah, no, really unacceptable. There we go. The country needs the jobs, Chairperson. The recovery of, yeah, this is another issue with the banks, unfortunately. I'm not bank bashing, Chairperson. I just want to state the fact that we've had difficulties where monies have been paid into bank accounts over time. And people have been deceased for some time. And so you see, the money doesn't stop immediately. Now, we've been struggling for the banks to get the money back. Now, this shouldn't be a struggle. I've seen letters between DG, the Treasury, the Minister, trying to deal with this matter of how we get. But we're still recovering, but I think there's so much more money that we need to get back. I know a bank just more recently, 2 weeks ago, was trying to say, no, we don't think we should give you the money like that. And I thought, no, it's not your right.
Yeah.
But we must remember, a bank contract is with an individual. And they use that in this conversation. But this is something we have to work on, because it's government's tax-paying money that's sitting there as a disposable fund for banks to use in the investment markets while it should be coming back to government. So there's an issue to address. In terms of looking at the numbers, that's just a graphic of the numbers, how much we got, the 5.6, and then what we spent and what we in fact saved. The Auditor General's report, well, it is very good to have an Auditor General's report that puts us perfectly in the black as opposed to any other untidiness. We've managed, and I must say this has been with the assistance of Ernst & Young, Chairperson. I think committee is aware that Ernst & Young was brought in to assist SASSA in moving from the disclaimer. But we also need to look now at the second part of the Ernst & Young contractual obligation, is to try and have the skills transfer happen, because it's no good a company just coming in and costing us money to do the work. It's now important to have the skills transfer to the right set of staff through a business process re-engineering, which is the processes we're currently involved in. In terms of the matters of emphasis, there was a huge restatement, and here we must come up front and say that, because it was also raised at SCOPA. As a result of the Oracle and moving from cash to accrual, there have been quite a few misstatements in our figures which had to be corrected. And so that was one of the issues that were raised. The others, obviously, here you'll see the disclosure note 20, the material impairment of the debtors. And I have spoken to the debtors, and this year more work will be done, more focused work will be done in debtors. Because debtors come on since the provinces. So we have debt that is accumulated to SASSA from when the pension tensions with those provinces. So that's a long story that we now sitting, and DG has already indicated to everybody the disaggregation of the debt we will have, particularly during the next couple of months. I thought that we could take students who are third year students and give them a 2 month job just to help us, because they will go back to varsity, many of them second and third years for their final years, to help us in the back end of the office with the debt, so that we can disaggregate the debt to say, okay, now fine, contact has been made. This is a person on the other side of this debt. They actually live at this address. Otherwise, you find us writing letters and letters and never reaching people, and it's 18 rand 50 a letter. And these are difficulties, and that's where we've got to do our job a bit better. So we're hoping that this 2 months of work, in some ways, it will even position some of the students to be able to pay a little towards their fees. So I think it's useful, but also to give them exposure to the work environment to assist us. So there is a team under the stewardship of DSD looking at the debtor situation. On the legal and the regulatory requirement, these are just the PAIA staff, the predetermined objectives, where we obviously work always needs to be done on the reliability of information. The validity, in fact, is at issue. So the auditor does mention it. In terms of our audit plan, I think we're dealing with it. Internal control, these are other frameworks that we're using, but also strengthening in terms of internal control within SAFRA is required. The record keeping, I would say, as a result of our clean audit, this is indeed improved, but we can do a lot more once we transfer the skills. Just very quickly, the challenges, if you give me time, Chairperson, I'm all right? I can wrap up. We can much less. Again, the BPR is the business process re-engineering, implementing the service delivery model, which we've talked about before. The agency's business process and standardization, I keep coming to. The development of the new payment model, which is the future we're headed towards. These are, they whilst they challenge, they're also opportunities for SASA. The innovations in how we plan and propose to pay out is very important that we conceptualize these now. We speak to posts in terms of the current strategy is more people hands on the ground at level 5 and 7 and 8 is required than more than at the head office level. And with that, Chairperson, I recommend to you our annual report for 2010-11. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Virginia, for that report presentation. If there's no additional report to make, I think at this stage I will allow the members to interact with the report. And I will start from the table, from Member Broto, Member Ranto, Member De Villiers, another member there. Yeah. That's what.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson, and thank you very much for the report. Sometimes, Chairperson, we say let's allow things to flow because there is hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, I believe it was in August when we met and we raised a lot of issues. And from the reports, I can see that things are becoming better. Although we're still not happy that the social development got a qualified report with the reason, as you said. But we believe that things will be better from what you presented, and we really don't want to complain much today or, you know, say anything negative. Except to say that we also commend you for the medical reviews. From your report, we can see that there is a reduction of those problems, and we live to see it in our constituencies. It is really happening. People are not complaining that much anymore. It shows that it is working. And last time we talked about the negative media reports that has also subsided. The only thing that I may ask from you is this type, different types of grants. You know, in those rural areas there, where we have too many orphans staying with their grannies, our people don't actually understand what to do when, you know, separate foster care. And myself, I don't know, I need to ask about this care dependency. Maybe let me put it this way and say, I'm a daughter of an old woman who needs serious care in the house. I am a working woman, but I've got a helper in the house. And the very same elderly person is a pensioner who's also receiving pension funds. So who qualifies to get this care dependency grant? That is the other question that I'm unable to answer to the people in my constituency. But having said that, maybe even say, if you can organize at those levels that we have these things being explained to the people, because that is where most people don't know, especially foster caring, and the best thing they know is pension funds and child grants and all those things. Those are the understands, but that one, no. The other thing that we raised very sharply, even last week to the department, was this problem of payments at the banks or the post office, where I think you got the report. I reported that they would still have days for people and you have to come on a particular day to get your money. Maybe that just needs investigation and talking to these things, because we have seen that. Chairperson, I just want to say that let's give it a chance. There is hope, and since they got an unqualified report, we hope they will now no longer have missing files and then all those things. And you know, let's hope that things are becoming better. So we hope that, because Mangwana Tsweri, I hope you understand me today. Mangwana means the mother. Yeah. So we hope that things will be much better from now on. Thank you.
Member Ronson.
Thanks, Chairperson. Let me also congratulate you, ma'am, on your work. I know it's a lot of work and it needed a woman with guts, because you're not working only with the she's. You're also working with the he's, who always think that you won't make it anyway, even if you think you will do the best. They always think they are the best. Thanks for showing the world that women are capable. Amanda Puma. My question is, I see the report, it's good, and I see the progress within the department. It's really showing hope that, and also you'll find that really in the department itself, there are no more those many complaints from the community. The community are starting to engage well with the department, in especially in my local area. But the only thing that I'm not happy with is because in my constituency, they say, ma'am, the USASA is, USASA's offices are closing in Lady Grey, and we don't know why is it closing, but we've got the information that the USASA offices, in fact, they said to me, the people who are using the community was using their office. It's very few people, so the office is no more needed. They will come maybe once a month or twice in 1 month. So people are crying out there that they will have to use Alwal North, and it's 50 kilometers from Lady Grey to Alwal North, and there is no transport.
Mm-hmm.
There is no straight taxi. Even if the taxi was there, it was going to cost them. Also, my concern is about the people, the government employees who had disabled children who were getting grants from SASSA or who applied for grants from SASSA, and they were teachers. That's why I say it's government employees, teachers and other people working with in the other departments. And their monies were cut. And I just wanted to know, did SASSA get the paybacks from those people, or is there no record of such a thing within the Department of SASSA? Because if there is no report, then I don't also know where to get that report. But I know of teachers who have disabled children who are getting grants, and they were complaining to me that SASSA must know that we as teachers, we are middle class, and some of the things we can't receive because of our salaries, our low salaries. And now that is why we wanted grants. We want government to help us with these disabled children. If there is anything like that within your records, did you receive your money, the SASSA money back? And also, I've got a concern with the foreign people that are within the country who ran away from their countries of that have war, and those, some of those women have got children. And I just want to know, SASSA, do you give to foreigners some sort of a grant? If no, what do you do in the cases of foreigners who run away from their countries and who are having children, who stay in our country, who do not have jobs, who can't even open these small businesses because of their status? Maybe they don't have money. They are not the same. They are like us. The others are well off, and the others don't have anything. And also, Chairperson, to you, the people who are being found fraudulent, it goes back to my question. People who were brought before court, are these people only the people who are within, who are working within the department, or do you have some community members also that are involved, or community members that are part of this, are making up this number? Thank you, Chairperson, for now.
Okay. Oh, good, and I'm Sanjay. You want to join the protest?
Protest, right? I'm already there.
You're far away.
Thank you. The number of grants to the beneficiaries are a lot. Now, my problem is in connection with that. Previously, we asked a question about the controlling of the loan sharks, the Shabinas, and the registered businesses. Actually, they are the beneficiaries of those grants. I heard nothing from the department on that progress.
Okay.
Maybe we can get that information. Then the other one, Honorable Chairperson, can we get the names of the doctors, especially we also raised that problem previously of doctors serving our people in the rural areas and the deep rural areas. Can we just get the information of those doctors? I was raising especially the situation of Luhamka, just to refresh your mind. And then on the agency has also entered into a memorandum of understanding with some of the provincial health departments. Can we just get the information? Are there any problems between you and the other the health departments, and what are they in that connection? Honorable Chairperson, the next one is actually the audit and the check of the payments on those who actually have to pay back on those fraudulent situation to the department. And who are actually doing those check-up and the monitoring of that the department receives those monies. Then the other municipalities, there's 121 municipalities across the country, especially into the integrated community registration outreach. Now, I just want to find out the information about the other municipalities and where are those municipalities. Mm-hmm. And I think the last question now, Honorable Chairperson, is actually around the vacancy. And I might go to this book, the vacancy. Now, the vacancy is round about 60%, but my concern is actually the critical post on page 122. I don't want to go through all of them, but if you can just see the top one, the financial clerks and credit controllers permanent. There's a vacancy rate of 57.9, and just to the middle, the 87.5, and the 74.1%, the middle managers, and the others, the messengers, the messengers, the porters, and deliverers, the permanent one. And then you can just go down to the bottom. We are actually visiting between 60 and 80. 89, nearly 90% of a vacancy in those different posts. If I'm not understanding this information correctly, then the department must just tell me what is the situation around that. I'm very much concerned about this position here, and I know, and I get the information this morning, that there's a very good performance in the department, but this situation is not so good. Thank you very much.
Okay. Let me also raise some few issues here. First is on the list of undeveloped pay points in all provinces. Mm-hmm. If you can tell us about the plans by the agency, what are the plans around these undeveloped pay points? And also the list that of issues that comments that were raised by the select committee members here. One of them, I think they have responded to most of them, but the other one that I think you didn't elaborate on is the issue that talks to 500 EPWP recruits by the department. If you can tell us about whether that has been implemented. And lastly, when we go around the country in different provinces, communities always raise a concern around the increasing figures of orphans, more especially in rural areas. Oh. And seemingly all the departments are caught off guard. There are no plans trying to assist or support these orphans. And here you are also talking about the foster child grant, which is slow in accommodating these children. What are the problems? There's a discrepancy. What are the problems that are leading to the slow recruitment or enlisting of these beneficiaries? Maybe we can also assist when we go around and share with the communities this information. Yeah, I think those are the few issues that I want to raise. You can respond.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to go with some of them, and then I'm going to ask my team to specifically respond to some of the issues. Yeah, in terms of the negative media reports, I think the issue you refer to when you talk about care dependency as well, care dependency is for a child with disabilities. Granting aid is for someone who's older and gets an additional support. I don't think we must confuse those two things, because
yeah.
It came out with a bit of confusion, and perhaps we should spend a little more time to put out better pamphlets, because I know if the members are having difficulties, that means lots of our people
yes.
get confused about that. So the care dependency in this instance is for a child who has a disability. And you raised an issue of who was caring for mum as the grandmother and who could get that. Do you want to add to that?
Yeah. If I may explain a care dependency grant, it refers to a child who has been medically certified by a medical doctor that due to his or her physical condition or mental disability requires some care by another person or assistance by another person. Therefore, the child must be medically certified by a medical doctor to require more assistance to qualify for this.
Tandy, could you please speak to the payments at banks investigation?
The issue about the staggering of payments to the bank. I'm not aware that, I think it's a grant as an issue, but I'm not aware that SASA has started staggering the beneficiaries at the bank. It must be some arrangement that the bank does on its own without SASA's involvement, because we had to apply our minds and consider the implications of staggering, because, you know, if you receive your pay on the 15th, you are used to getting all your debit orders going through on the 15th. Now, the same applies to beneficiaries. They are used to getting their money on the first, probably, of the month, which means then they are used to paying their bills and buying this and that. On them. So we had to step back and say, let's really apply our minds to it. So it should be an issue that the bank is handling on our own.
I hope with a new payment contractor, which we should start on the 1st of April, that these matters, the whole reason of not wanting to do anything about it right now is we have an opportunity with a new payment contractor to be able to sort out whoever the contractors are. Because you see, we had contracts that came from provinces, just had a bit of renewal, but the same both contracts stood. And when people went, we want a more uniform approach with even in the banking processes. So I think there would be our only opportunity to change the experience for our people. I didn't think we should do it now, because then it would be double trouble, because when we go and re-enroll everybody, which we will as from the 1st of April, then we will advise on how that works. So we will put a hold on processes to shift how people get paid in banks until that process is done. I'm going to, whilst I'm speaking, Allable North, Lady Gray, I'd like, if someone would actually write them, because I have a list of all the pay points and all the offices. It's in the file where we do any, and I didn't find this name, so I didn't find Lady Gray, so I'm beginning, I'm going to have to. Right?
Can
you explain?
I think in respect of Lady Gray, the Eastern Cape has noted that over a year, they only service about 20, 25 people per annum. Now they've come to a conclusion which says they don't have to rent an office, to appoint a security company, a cleaning company, because it becomes more expensive to rent a service in that particular area. What they have not done is to do a proper consultation with the communities to say we'll be coming once a week on this particular day. We wrote back to them to say they must go back to the community and have an intensive consultation so they can agree with the community leaders that they will be there on particular days per week. Yeah, so that people can be informed, so that people can go and get a service on that particular day. They will be, it's classified as one of the satellite offices. They will come once a week. Thank you, CEO.
I think it's very difficult if our beneficiaries have had their own office, to understand that there's growth in each province of other expanding poor communities that require what was possibly a service point at that time becomes a local office and vice versa. I think the important thing is the consultation and conversation we have with communities. Mm. And I think that is where SAFA has to change the way it does its business. I'm sure when communities see what our difficulty is to maintain a full office with a full standard of, it's just too much for against the cost-benefit analysis. But you shouldn't hurt the people who currently, but we should also forecast how many people. And so it's the communication, not just something on the office door to say, well, now we're closing. Mm-hmm. It should be you go to the schools, you speak to the NGOs, you go to the churches, so that our people understand why. And I think that's where SAFA has to change its approach. The fact that we have to streamline somewhere because other areas are growing, that's almost a way of life right now. But I think it's conversations, because lots of times counselors phone, and in the same way you raise things, mm. they feel that we're just making a unilateral shut the door, throw the key away, whilst we haven't. I think perhaps the REMS must learn to speak to a lot more people when they do this, and that's going to help us. With our relationship with our people to explain, because it is difficult to take away. But we must also understand there's growing needs all over the place that we have to meet. I'm going to ask through the chairperson
also the security of the workers of SASA within that area, because it is the concern of the people in the area, and also the workers within the office. They don't know where will they be in the next few months.
Usually, if workers were deployed to a local office, we would try and make the distance not too great between what's called a district, local, and a service point for them. What we would do is say that if the workers are in that area and we're reducing the content, they would still have to be there X amount of days. But the other days, they will go to another area and come back to that office, so the day will not be spent at that office. That's what we need to do. So we're extending our service from different points. So whilst the worker, we're not going to say to the worker, oh, you live in this town, I must go live in another town. I don't think that's what we're saying. Mm-hmm. What we're saying to the worker, that office won't be open 5 days a week, but we feel that that area over there needs a service point. So 2 days a week, you're going to have to go there. Mm-hmm. We provide the transport. You check in at the office where your post is again. We just deploy you to go and do work there. So that is our approach. I want Tandi to deal with the fraud and payback and security issues, the other fraud issues. But I also want to say, Chairperson, the SIU has been the account holder for the monies, the admission of debt and the collection of it. And we're currently looking at that. We're having to review how that works in future. Because we have received back, we pay the SIU $3 million per month, and during the same, so that's 18, and we received during that same period $6 million received back. Mm-hmm. So we have to ask ourselves some critical questions. Mm-hmm. How are we going to do that? Also, if it's an interest-bearing account and it takes long for the money to come back into government coffers through DSC, because we have a process like that, we'd have to see how that works. Part of their job was also to transfer skills so we could do our own debt collection as we're going to do now. Because then you focus, you just do that. But you also can discern who you can get money from. You're not going to get money from everyone. So these are some of the issues we're currently looking at as an organization. Specifically what SIU views, specifically what we will use our workers to do. But I ask Sandy to do all the fraud, the teachers, the whole...
Thank you to you. The question from Honourable Member Ranto was about whether we're recovering the monies that we pay to teachers and other public servants who are defrauding the system. Yes, those are the people who have taken through the courts and they have signed acknowledgement of debt. Unfortunately, they're paying over a period, though it's with interest. And I fully understand why people are complaining that their salaries are low, but unfortunately the care dependency grants, the child support grants, are means tested. Mm-hmm. So there's a threshold that the department has set, and anybody earning above the threshold do not qualify for a grant. So that's why they were prosecuted. The other question was around the public service, the people who were brought before the court, whether it's just public servants, nor it also includes private beneficiaries, because through I think over the last 3 years, the SIU has been doing data matching between our system, which is software, and other salary payrolls for other departments, other institutions, like your pick and pay, and they picked up a lot of private people as well who are also getting grants that they shouldn't be getting. So we are also recovering, and some of those people, depending on how much they've stolen from SASSA, have also, they are part of the people who've been prosecuted as well. Mr. McCletu, I'll ask Mr. McCletu to respond to the question about foreign children. I only deal with foreign people who are getting grants illegally because they come through the borders and collect and go home. But he deals with the other children.
Okay.
Thank you, CEO. It is important to mention that civil servants do qualify for foster care grant, because the income of the foster parent is not means tested.
Yeah.
It's only the child's income or assets that are means tested, something you have inherited from your parents or from whoever. Okay? Coming to the question about foreigners, do they qualify for social grants? In terms of the regulations, they do qualify for foster care grant if you are a South African, permanent resident, or a refugee. You still qualify for foster care grant. If you apply for disability grant, refugees and permanent residents still qualify for disability grants if they meet the criteria. Also, for child support grant, permanent residents do qualify for child support grant as well. Therefore, there are provisions within our regulations for them to qualify for certain type of grants, not for all grant types. I think it's important for us to mention that. Thank you, CEO.
Thanks. Chairperson, with regard to the loan shark issue, together with CSD, the policy department, we met with the National Credit Regulator. We started a project plan which has netted already three particular unsavory types in Gauteng, and we're working on this with great vigor. These are loan sharks, and the way we're operationalizing our product, so it's ourselves, we have the other branches of the security involved with it, we call the police. So we're looking at who is this loan shark when we at a pay point. We're first checking on the distance away that they should be. Then we're checking, are they registered? The minute they're not registered, together with the NCR, because that's where they have their registration, the police get called, and they are arrested. But there's a lot behind this loan shark business that I think we're starting, that's why we were looking at it, even at the cross-border situations, where there's specific people coming over in certain taxis to collect, not even grants, but also rentals from RDP houses. We're looking at a range of different part, and that is a project together with Crime Intelligence, with Home Affairs, SIU, SADF. So we've got quite a few projects that we've actually, yes, we've launched a lot of programs that is unneeded, more than what we were looking for technically. We were going after trying to find our people, the people who should not be on it, to verify if they are our people that should be getting. We were trying to go after their cards, and we're picking up on these other trends. So I think this project is still in its infancy. I think we're actually getting capacity. We've advertised for capacity. We're needing managers to work with us, because you have to do a lot of tracking. And you also need to see what actually happens at the crossing, because some of legal crossings, and in a whole lot of places, there's absolutely too many points, and there's no real crossing, but people are coming over. So there's, and we need to look at the location of the pay points itself. So there's a lot more than we initially thought when we started out with this project. I think the project has grown in dimension, and also the security around this. We have to really watch how we tread, because there's a lot. Who's funding the operations of having the cash on hand? Is it South Africans, or is it foreigners behind South African? Is it a front situation? So there's a lot. We would like perhaps next year
to report more on this issue of the loan sharks, because as I say, we've just started our approach. So before people go underground, because when you know, as you know how it is in this kind of underground, the minute you start laying your finger on how it works, they'll find another way. So we're just about working on this, and when we get the more staff in, we will target our team to work with the agencies here. But I think there's a lot more than meets the eye on that matter. We apologize for not bringing the names of the doctors. In fact, I will ask someone to go out and phone Dr. DeBlanche and get the name of the doctors so that we can have it. But we'll also formally write it to you. My understanding was that Western Cape, while they were having capacity problems in some of the areas, were relying on doctors from outside, but they were moving more and more away from that to try and move more to the state MOU type. Isn't that correct,
yes.
Mr.? So, but we will see who they have at the moment there, and we will let you have. In terms, we will also provide you which provinces have the MOU and which can't. But it's about capacity. Where we do have MOUs with the health department, it works. They'll tell us which, they actually point us to some distant rural areas where they do have less staff. And that's where we then have to augment our MOU. But the point is to move from that premise, because you need the doctors to deal with each other in terms of understanding the norms and standards of the diagnosis and being clear. But we will give you the rundown, or do you have it with you, the MOUs for the different provinces?
In fact, CEO, we can provide them with a national list of all contracted doctors nationally, so they can have a national picture.
Okay, we've got all of that. In terms of the ICOP and the 122, I think, again, our ICOP is linked to the identified poverty wards. There is a full report in the file on the current ICOP activity, but there was a sense of how it would be rolled out to other wards. But it is linked to the nationally declared poverty wards. Is that? Yeah. The critical post. As from the 1st of December, we have started to fall post. From we perhaps members would have seen, Chairperson, through you, the ads in the paper. I released 1,100 posts at level 5, 7, and 7 particularly for the provinces. And I must just check if we can give you a breakdown of where that is happening. So from the first, but I must also tell you what had happened, Chairperson. These are only 1,100 posts. But even in one province like the Western Cape, we had 50,000 applications. Mm-hmm. Now we have a problem that you've got to have an HR company behind the network to help you screen. Mm-hmm. But that just shows the level of desperation. Mm-hmm. This is a level 5 job. Mm-hmm. And there were only 94. But that's the response rate we're getting. Because my aim is that from the 1st of December, we're starting to fill some of the critical posts. And we'll be able to bring you a listing of what we've considered. It might not be absolutely accurately correct against what was previously stated, because my approach has been that local offices and service points must be serviced first, then the financial division within SASSA, and that's the way we'll stagger our posts. Less people coming in through head office, more people coming in through the first rank of our posts. And then we also have a lot of contract posts in SASSA, and I'd like to convert that into more permanent posts. I tried to push for 1,800 posts to release, and the acting CFO is here. He generally says no to me, ma'am, because he said that whilst I worked out the scientific model for how many beneficiaries, he said to me that the cost of employment and cost of compensation to our margin of expenditure, if I carried it through like that, would be too high, so he made me drop that to 1,100. Obviously, we will go to Treasury next year and be very clear on what we need, because there are levels of posts that we cannot do without. We will have, at the end of the BPR process, the financial staff will have. We also looked at eSASA about collecting debt. And we have to ask questions before we employ people. So my point is, we need to say, do we have a problem now whilst we have a big debtors book? Then say, do we want to make these permanent? And I know they had put up a large number, and I disagreed with it. said, no, that's not our job. We must look at what part of our job we want to take. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to have two caches per, if we do that, because our footprint is huge. We have 9,000 areas where we pay out, but if you just look at the 900 in terms of the office establishment, 300 and odd local offices, for example. If you say two caches per to collect the debts, then you're really looking at a whole level of staff. It doesn't change how fast we take an application yet. So we've got to weigh up what we need, because we need to work with DSD in the future to see how we will do. The DG is raising with me the impact of security clearance for the number of people we're currently trying to vet and get through. We've had to set up a little structure within SASA just to assist with the vetting, for example, but also for the cashers and debtors. So there's different approaches. SASA must do what it is mandated to do. And other divisions around us have to pick up. I mean, we've got DG here, so he's sitting here, so he's hearing me. Some of the parts of how we manage the debt has to be a dual. The inspectorate, for example, will have a role in future in how we go after people who have committed fraud. They'll come and check on us. We have a first rank responsibility, but DSD through the inspectorate will have another rank. So all these posts, when they're initially thought of, I feel they were not clearly against the mandate of what SASA has to do.
Yeah.
So critical in that year is not necessarily critical in this year. The critical out of that year is very definitely our ability to deliver, take on an application properly with the right number of low-level staff, our ability to do our M&E and verification of our grant base through the inspectorate. The finance division is very definitely critical to us. So that BPR is important. So those will stand out. And then all those others will have to say, must we do this? What do we outsource? What do we insource? Because you can't. We can say, what is the cost of having a company manage the debtor's book as opposed to we manage? Because then you negotiate a percentage. Instead of paying your using a retainer to collect these fees per month, which is a standard rate, which is higher than a percentage of what you recover. So we must look at those issues. And I think previously, during that financial year, the understanding was that SASA would stand for all these roles. And I don't think it's that feasible. I think SASA must just stay with what it does. Certain things we can get others to do. And at the moment, the SIU, through some court structures, they are doing some of these things, and also at great cost. And we need to ask, how can we do it at a better cost to the agency? Because the agency needs more money to do other things. So we'd have to sort that out. In terms of, we've got a whole list for you, Chairperson, in the book that speaks to this, the folder we've given you.
Mm-hmm.
Plans for the 300 pay points that we will develop. The names of each pay point is within the... I'm obviously saying 300 is too slow for me, Chairperson. Because if you have 9,000 pay points, then 300 is just not enough.
Yeah.
Now, I've said to the team, I know you put that up before, but my impatience says that why must only 300 come right, but the rest is still going to pay under the tree and on the top of the hill? It's just not going to work for me. So I'm looking at other relationships that we can develop in order to get more pay points done. We're going to have a meeting, and it's still to happen. One of the partners could not arrive for it last week. Even with the IDT, we're looking at all the arms in government. We either have, for example, we don't have engineers. So if I'm saying we're going to have to do, we've got to rely on Public Works as a first entity. And if Public Works is not able, what are we going to keep on saying? So we've got to look at Plan A and B.
Yeah.
For all these. We're even thinking of signing an agreement with the Contralessa, because some of our pay points are on traditional land. And we need to understand it is just not good enough to say, well, it's on someone else's land. But we've been using it for all the years, and we're going to continue using it. Because if the land is held in community trust, then we should find a way into replacing the windows, fix the door, make sure that the toilets work, put in the JoJo.
these are just basics. Make sure there's churn. So to restore the integrity of the dignity of our customers, that's what we're wanting to do. So we're wanting to do more than the 300, but we've given you the list with the 300. We've given you the local offices we will improve with the breakdown for each province. Some provinces are less than others because they have better sense of infrastructure, but it is there, and we would receive your comments, chairperson and committee members, because there's 9,000 pay points. I'd like to say to you, the one that offends you most, write to me right away and say, that one's just not going to work for us. And we're going to see how we can negotiate on other levels. Because sometimes it's a small amount of money. We did have a previous relationship with the payer contractors where there was called the RDP fund. Very nebulous, RDP fund. We need to make that more functional for us. Say, and that was for pay points, and now some banks are saying, no, we don't need to use it like that for, you know, those who are holding it for us. And I'm saying, no, if you have a contractual obligation with a better costing model, we should be able to say, that pay point must get that. You will see the breakdown in your attached annexures of how we're spending the office allocation, and we're talking about 30 million. We're also looking at the pay points, but just for that 300. And if I can double that next year, I think we'll be making progress. So that's just on the pay points. The EPWP, ma'am, the same as I wanted to have 1,800 folks, and I could only have 1,100. When it came to the EPWP, the same gentleman down here said to me that I can only have 300. I've understood that because he is the acting CFO. Shame. I'm just putting his numbers here. Yes. But look, we've got to work within our budget. Let's be honest. He's got a job. He's got a job to do, and I have to respect that. So we've had to reduce that to 300. It is our aim, as we introduce the new entrance, the 1,100, we'll bring the EPWP. Mm-hmm. We will have a virtual training center installed by February, so we'll be doing a lot more training with our people in that way, particularly new staff. Mm-hmm. DG's mentioned the vetting, and vetting is a long process. But in terms of SASA, the type of official we want must be honest. Mm-hmm. It must care for our people. If we can't bring those two things together, this is where our problems start. If you are able to be bribed, there's always a briber and a bribee. Mm-hmm. There's always someone, I mean, you know, in every field, in every setting, business, they're corrupting. So if it's easy for people to be corrupted, they should not. You should look at if an official has a lot of debt. Because then the salary they're going to earn is not going to cover that. They're vulnerable. You must look at when officials are having affairs in the workplace. They're vulnerable. The staff now spend hours on this. Because in order to raise the integrity of the organization, you have to deal with these issues.
What do I know?
I don't want to open an area that we perhaps should not discuss here. In terms of the orphans and foster care, particularly during October, Minister has pointed out she was very singularly unhappy that the orphans were tended to put on child support grant as opposed to go to foster care. But we must understand that the Children's Act and the impact of the Child Care Act in this matter. The Justice Department, together with social development, a social worker's report has to go through a children's court. An order is made. When the child becomes a ward of state, the order is made. Then it is given to SASA to implement the order through payment per month. I think there has been, and DG himself is ensuring that there's a project to actually deal with the foster care issue. Mm-hmm. And you will see the decrease in our numbers, and even the year we are in review, there's a decrease. And what tended to happen, that people said, well, why aren't you waiting for the court processes to go on the child support grant? Mm-hmm. And that's a denying a child and their family the rights they should have. So there's a project plan, and Minister herself is receiving reports on it. SASA can just provide the areas, but there are children that are not picked up by community. Mm-hmm. We found in Welfare Month, there were areas, Masinga, we went to a lot of areas when we came across an orphan, and they said, okay, when my mother died, She was getting a child support grant, but now nothing. Mm-hmm. Or the foster parent died, and now, or the Justice Department, the magistrate doesn't want to understand that the granny's grant is income for the granny. The GOGO must have the children, but the children can be in foster care. We're having some of those challenges, which are real challenges,
yeah,
about interpretation.
Especially in the least, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to sort this out, because it is denying the family the rights of the additional amount that the child deserves. So foster care is receiving, from the minister herself, it's been an item on the MINMEC. I know DG is charged with making this project work a lot faster to get the new orders for the children. And as we convert back to foster care, obviously they come off the child support grant. But we need to get that. But it is also about the social worker's ability to do the number of reports, to get it into the court process by the numbers we currently deal with after the Gauteng North High Court ruling. But this is indeed an issue. Orphans, they are. We need to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the answers to those questions, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. Thanks a lot, ma'am. Yes. Only one question. And don't disguise your questions into something else. Ne? There must be questions. One each. One each. Honorable Tivilius Rant and Honorable Broad.
I want to find out who's the question. Chairperson, my follow-up is actually around the situation. Must SASSA also register, I think, with some kind of financial, what do you call that? Yeah, just that you can collect debt. I think that that is also in the law somewhere, or the financial situation. Thank you.
Okay. Chairperson, I don't have a question. I just wanted to ask Osasa, all this information that you've given us now, I will be able to relate it to my community, but not as efficient as you have done it. Osasa, could you make programs and go to the community, explain everything to the community? Because in our community, I've got people from Lesotho in my area, and also the other foreign the other countries. You know, these people get hurt because they are being hurt because they are getting a grant, and there's a next door neighbor who's a South African who doesn't get a grant.
Ma'am, we
Yeah,
the last one.
No, mine is just on the pamphlets, especially around care dependency and foster children, because that's where I realized there are more problems in my constituency, especially when the child is an orphan and staying with relatives or grannies. They don't know about that. So if we can have those pamphlets, we can always be able to give. And the care dependency, we're talking about a child. Is it the constitutional child of up to 18 years on that? Okay.
The point is, when the child becomes 19, if the child was dependent on 24-hour care, then almost in most 98-99% of the cases, the child will become a disability adult.
Yeah.
Will convert. There are some instances there that there have been challenges that this hasn't happened, and that should be picked up on. Because if a child grows up with 24-hour care needs, it will become an adult needing care and supervision. So that's what happens with that. I just want to say on the pamphlet, I'm glad that our communications person is here. We've got the Know Your Grant and all about you and your grant in there. But my point is, I'm a kind of simple knock and drop kind of person in terms of information that people can use. I think I've said that SASSA is too glossy, too sophisticated. Our communities love chatting.
Yeah.
And so we need more stakeholder managers in SASSA. We need customer care people who go out and meet with groups of people. So we need to change that about. We have money, but we also then spend it on making the glossy stuff. And I don't believe it. I believe in small, to the point communication that says what our issues are. My only message now is, please, if you change your address, let us know. because that's how grants are stopped when reviews happen, and that's the pressure we have at the moment. So I think that's the way we want to do it in future. So we thank you for that. I agree with the foreigners. The foreigners is a difficult issue because of resource problems in our poor community. So we need to look at how, together with DFD, we go about when DM goes out to communities to tell people about our services, how we structure that in the program. In the poorest communities, we see this in that community of Mosfom, that one, where we saw that foreigners were in houses that should be meant for our people, and then they've got angry and so on. These things, where we've seen people come to collect rent, but they're from across the border, the invisible line. We're going to have to look into these issues. It's not all our problem. I think we must raise it and then send it to the relevant departments through the task team, because I think it is important as we look at that. And no, we don't have to be registered with the Financial Services Board, Tuli, because the money is owed through DSC to Treasury and the fiscus at large.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've answered all the issues raised. Okay, let me take this opportunity, honorable members and the delegation from the department, to amplify what honorable Brota has said, that we really appreciate the improvement and the progress made by the SASSA agency and also the department DG for monitoring or support, giving support and working together with the agency. We really appreciate that kind of support, and we hope that when you come back again to report to us in future, we will see more positive results from the agency. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Honorable members, we must adopt our minutes, please. It won't be long. You have read this minutes for some time. No, thank you very much. What is it?
Thank you. They must wash you before they wear things. They are clothes on because of the black. People are wearing black and white. So you don't know whether they are supporting you or not. And normally people love black and white.
Yes, that's the one I
have. It's either black or white.
What would you pick? Thank you, ma. Hey, should I take from here?
Yes.
Honorable members, let's not waste time. I believe that you have the minutes with you. They were given to you. They were also posted on your emails. And you, I think you have had time to read through them. Marcel, just give me the first one. The 25th of October. If
on the 25th of October, do we have any corrections to make?